Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good start to our fast. We're going to read today Mark 1, and we're going to be going over the book of Mark during this time. Because Mark only has 16 chapters, and we obviously have many more days that today, I'm going to just work on backgrounds, but we're still going to read Mark 1 together, and we'll go over Mark 1 tomorrow. Or I'm sorry, on Monday of next week. And so let's start this. Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist. And his diet was locusts and wild honey. And he was preaching and saying, "After me, one is coming who is mightier than I. I'm not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And it came about in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I'm well pleased." And immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And he was going along by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, and they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men." And they immediately left the nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and they also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately the news about him went out everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. And immediately after they had come out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to him about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. And when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him, and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby, in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came out for." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. And a leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I'm willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them. And he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Amen. Amen. Like I said before, we have a little bit of a luxury because of 16 chapters. And so we will get to chapter one, but I think it'd be a pretty good idea to go over some background here. Mark, most likely the first book or the first gospel that's written. And I'll share some evidence in a little bit later on, but let's go to the writer. Who is Mark? And actually his full name is John Mark. We are introduced to him primarily in Acts chapter 12. If you remember, when Peter is supernaturally released from prison, he goes to the house of Mary in Jerusalem. This was the house of Jesus's Last Supper. And so most likely, this is actually the house of probably the first church that's around. And this is Mary's house, and her son is John Mark. The name Mark or Marcus means hammer. And he, we know, is the cousin of Barnabas. Colossians 4:10 mentions that. If you remember, we're introduced to John Mark in the book of Acts. In Acts 13:13 particularly, if you remember, Paul and his companions depart to Perga in Pamphylia. And John Mark, for whatever reason, most likely he was feeling homesick, or he was just too young for such a journey as this. And he basically abandons them there and he heads back to Jerusalem. This causes quite a bit of distress between Paul and Barnabas. And so they basically separate and go different ways. Paul hooks up with Silas, and Barnabas goes and takes John Mark. And this is in Acts chapter 15, 37 to 39. We see that obviously Paul is quite angry with him, but John Mark seems to have redeemed himself and gotten on Paul's good side, because in the book of Timothy, he asks them to bring Mark. And in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul says, only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But most importantly, John Mark is known as the attendant of Peter. And Peter, in fact, in 1 Peter 5:13, calls Mark his son. And so he was clearly the spiritual son of Peter, just like Timothy is the primary spiritual son of Paul. John Mark is basically known for his relationship with Peter. The early church fathers all agree across the board with one voice that Mark wrote this gospel. Basically going all the way back to Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, Origen, and Jerome. These are key figures in the early church, and they all point to Markan authorship for this particular book. And so there really is not much of an argument that's laid out here. Not only is he the writer of this, but as a companion of Peter, you can almost say that Mark is really Peter's gospel in a sense, because what Mark writes is basically like a memoir of Peter. It really contains almost all of Peter's spiritual markers, if you're familiar with that term from Experiencing God. There's an interesting passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, as Peter's writing this letter. He says, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be ready to call these things to mind. And most scholars believe that when Peter is actually writing this gospel, he's probably looking up to, writing the letter, he's looking up to John Mark, who has probably already started beginning writing the gospel. And so Peter was just saying, yeah, something will be sent out to you soon. And John Mark was probably working on it even as he's writing that letter. Mark in this gospel really has no agenda whatsoever but to tell the story of Jesus, and primarily the idea of Jesus as God's son. It goes back to it comes from the centurion. Remember who after Jesus died says, "Oh, this man truly was the Son of God." We see the transfiguration, the baptism, all these things pointing to the divine Son that's laid out. We see Jesus even says, you know, that the Son doesn't even know the hour, only the Father. And so this telling of the story is wrapped in this big theme of Jesus is God's Son, the Son of God. And so we'll see a lot of this laying out. And really, John Mark is just simply recording what Peter remembers. And so if you think of this, what happens is, Matthew will borrow extensively. I'll talk about that in a moment. Will borrow extensively from Mark. But what he does, he always shortens the stories because Matthew has an agenda, really a theological agenda of portraying Jesus as the fulfillment of the Torah. And so he spends quite a bit of time. So he takes Mark's stories and he shortens them. But Mark is just basically writing what Peter remembers. Mark gives us really the literal voice of Jesus. Mark was very fluent in Aramaic, and so we can hear Jesus speaking his native Aramaic tongue. This is Mark 5:41, 7:11, verse 34, and then 14:36, and it's as if Peter could still hear Jesus speaking as he recounts the stories to Mark. Mark never mentions his own name in the gospel. But when we listen to this gospel, what we can do is we can really place ourselves at the feet of Jesus, but more so at the feet of Jesus' closest earthly companion, which is Peter. One of the themes of Mark's gospel, we talked about the Son of God, but really a big theme, and this is why a lot of people, myself included, will often tell people, hey, who just become Christians, why don't you go read the book of Mark? Because it's just simply the story of Jesus. There's nothing really much added to it. There's no theological agenda like Matthew. It's very clean, but what Mark really has that separates itself from everyone else is it has the passion of Jesus. Mark seems to write quite a bit about Jesus's emotional life. We do find the compassionate Jesus in Mark, and it's all over there, but we also find the angry Jesus, the irritated Jesus, the impatient Jesus, the indignant Jesus. Mark's picture of him is much more human, and you'll find that coming from someone who is much closer to Jesus, which is Peter. Give you an example in Mark 9:19, an exasperated Jesus asks his disciples, "How long should I put up with you?" To give you an idea of this passion of Christ, Matthew uses four adjectives and six scenes to describe the emotions of Jesus. Luke uses five adjectives in seven scenes, but Luke uses 34 other scenes to describe the emotions of everyone else. John just uses four adjectives as references. Mark, in this way, actually uses 15 separate scenes altogether. In Mark's gospel, we meet a Jesus who shocks and fails to meet our expectations. This was really the evidence of everyone who came close to him. And don't get me wrong, it's not like Jesus failed, it's that our expectations were wrong and the disciples' expectations were wrong. And you have this through Mark and the portrayal of Christ here, you have this deep appreciation for Mark's trust and willingness to really to present the unveiled emotional life of Jesus. And that's what we have here. Mark's gospel has about 660 verses. Crazy. All but 20 or so of these reappear in Matthew and Luke. Matthew reproduces almost 600 of Mark's verses, and Luke about 300. And so where the synoptics, in other words, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, agree on the ordering of material, they all come together in this way, where Matthew and Luke, they diverge from the way Mark had ordered, they also diverge from one another in this place. And this is where scholars have used, this is the whole idea of textual criticism, and they recognize that Mark's gospel was the first one, probably the first one written during this time. And so we see the beginning here, and you know, just in verse one, we see this: in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in verse one, sounds like you know, the words of an enthusiastic young man that's about to basically about to set on this grand adventure of telling this most amazing story of his. That he writes out. Mark is really writing from a crisis in Rome. He writes with urgency in this place, and he's using the historical present tense over 150 times. And even when we read Mark 1, you recount the repeated word use of the word immediately they left their nets, immediately they followed Jesus, immediately, you know, they did this and so on and so forth. And this is kind of the idea of verse one. The title, is very much, intended, in the beginning. Sounds like Genesis, right? A new beginning, like Genesis 1, appears really a new hope. And his word use of the word gospel meant it was intended for a Roman audience, as only they would have really resonated with this word. Good news, which was cause for celebration. Only Mark, we recognize, refers to his book as the gospel. As good news, as a proclamation. It's news. That's how they had this idea, but a proclamation, but it was good news. That's what the gospel means. And only Mark refers to his book as the gospel. And the central character is the Messiah, the central hope for all the Jews living during this time. And he is the Son of God, like I said, and we'll get this later on. In 1539 at the centurion's confession. And so we get Mark's confession from the beginning that he is the Son of God, and we bookend it with the centurion's confession that truly this man was the Son of God. And so that's kind of our background a little bit. And so let's close our eyes, and I know it's quite, you know, how do you go into meditation after a background? But, you know, I'm really intrigued by John Mark. As a young man, he goes off on a journey and he fails miserably. But he redeems himself. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from John Mark in this way. And he didn't go into depression. I mean, he may have, who knows? But he picked himself up and he became useful in the gospel, so much so that he ends up writing probably the most important book of the New Testament, where others actually borrow from Mark's work. And I think it just really speaks of the nature of God, that he is a redemptive God. He doesn't give up on people. And even though John Mark fails miserably, God doesn't fail him. And he, I mean, talk about redemption, right? I mean, you go from abandoning the cause and leaving because you're homesick or whatever, maybe there's really no excuse for that. And that's why you know that Paul becomes so irate, even to argue with Barnabas. I mean, Barnabas's name is a son of encouragement. I mean, how do you get in a fight with someone who's called the son of encouragement? But it's all centered on John Mark. But yet we see Mark redeeming himself and being used quite powerfully. And I think that's just kind of a microcosm of the gospel, of this good news, that when you make a mistake in God, in the kingdom, that's not the end of the battle. In fact, that might be just the beginning of your redemption. And so as we go into just a time of worship and reflection, I want to encourage us just think about the mistakes that we've made and how God has turned them around. And maybe you're in a place where you're so willing to write people off, but we can't do that because our God is a God of redemption. He redeems and he transforms. And so let's just meditate on that, and you know, meditate on the life of John Mark as we go into a time of worship right now.
Before sin is in. Yes, God, He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees it still.
Let's give thanks to the God who knows our name. Let's give thanks to the God who never gives up on us. Give thanks to the Lord who always makes himself available, that wants to redeem even the biggest mistakes of our life and turn it around. That's the hope of the gospel. So let's pray this morning before we go into our corporate prayer time. Let's give thanks to this God. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers, going through different therapies and surgeries. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus today on this Saturday. Let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for open doors for ministry down the road. Let's just really continue to lift up this country. Pray for missional opportunities and partnerships throughout Asia. Let's pray for the persecuted churches, particularly there in the Middle East. Let's just lift up these areas of the world and ask for the Spirit of God to hover and bring His peace into these places. Let's just lift up our online weekend gatherings. We have Oasis that's meeting today in the afternoon. Obviously, we have our Sunday service tomorrow, which includes the Well, the SB Kids video. Pray for the worship team, the hospitality team that meet up afterwards. Let's pray for SP Youth for emotionally healthy spirituality, the course for healing, helping without hurting course. Our spin and spill services and activities and all the meetings that are going on this weekend. Let's just really lift up. Let's lift up our city. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for those who have COVID or that are sick to get well. Let's pray that the cases would go down. Pray for the government to have wisdom in the policies governing over our city. Pray for businesses that may be hampered through because of COVID. Let's just really lift up our city before the Lord right now. Let's go to our member focus, and today we have the privilege of praying for Janet Ling from Robin Hood. Let's just really pray for a restoration of her relationship with her dad. Let's just really cry out to God and just ask the God that restores, the God that redeems, to come and move in their family. Let's lift up. Let's pray for Jessica Juk, also from Robin Hood. Pray that her dad's heart would soften and that he would accept Christ. Let's pray for that word of salvation over Jessica's dad. Let's pray for James Lee, also from Robin Hood. Pray for health and safety for their parents in Canada. Pray that he'd be able to change the job or continue with a current model and continue with seminary or other kind of university. Let's lift up James. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you that you are the God of second and third and fourth and 50 chances, Lord, that you don't give up on us, God. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, Lord. We see in this model of John Mark, though he's failed miserably, Lord, you never gave up on him. And he redeems himself, Lord, and becomes useful, not only to Paul, but to all of us, God, and since we're reading his gospel. And so we thank you, Lord. That's only done through your heart and through your hand. And we just bless and praise you for it, God. Lord, give us strength on this first day of the 21-day fast. Help us to really focus on you, to spend time with you, God, whatever activities or meals we're giving up, that we would be with you, God. Lord, fasting without prayer is dieting, Lord. So teach us. We thank you. We thank you for the beginning of this journey, Lord. Give us strength, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time and enjoy your Saturday. Continue to seeking after the Lord. And we'll see you tomorrow online and then back Monday morning at 7. And we will go through Mark chapter 1 together. Okay. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.